What's going on, everyone? Thanks for stopping by my podcast, Chasing the Hook, Ironworker Stories and More. The only podcast where we'll sit down with the old timers and let them tell the stories of the old days. We will also talk history, traditions, and what the future holds for us. What's up, brothers and sisters? So on this fourth episode, I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of a heads up. I had to do quite a bit of editing on this just for sound purposes. And also sitting down with Brother Gene, we kind of went back and forth through different stories. And I had to edit it also just to make it sound a little bit better. But with that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode. And here we go.
And got over to the Philippines there in Subic Bay. And for, you might say, my first ironworking job was welding on the pier.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm standing in that water, and I'm looking down, and here's these big old fish. Horrible-looking teeth. And barracudas. Barracudas.
Yeah.
And I jumped up on the pier. And that old first-class hollered at me, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "No, I ain't going down there." Well, you can go back up on the asphalt plant. That was hot over there. Oh,
I bet.
I love them fishes. They'd swim around you. I loved them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to put on a welding hood and have them swimming around your legs.
I bet.
They never bothered us. And then, what was his name? The guy we talked to. The one that we lived with in Casper for a little bit when I got near him. Lyle Bothell was a steel worker.
Okay.
And he said, "You ought to go." I don't know when we got drunk, and about a month later, they come got me, and he said, "Pack your bag, you're headed back to the States." And I said, "Well, what did I do?" "You're going to steelworker school." "I am?" "Well, you put in for it." I said, "I did." So back there, now apprenticeship for the steel workers is rebar.
Okay.
We actually put up a building, tore it down, welding, all types of welding.
Really?
Anything you did back then. Of course, all we did back then was mild steel.
Yeah.
And then we went...
So that was basically like a pre-apprenticeship then, huh, Gene? Like before,
oh, yeah.
Before
school that no apprentice even come close to getting back then.
Yeah.
This was everything.
Yeah.
Rebar, all kinds of structural bridges.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it all. You're trained for it all.
Yeah.
Then we went from the Philippines to Okinawa. And I made third class in, and they put me in charge of the rebar yard. All the rebar then come back over straight length.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a bender set up, and we'd bend in the rebar for the and tying mats. We did a helicopter, building for the helicopters.
Okay.
Yeah. They'd fly them in there for repair and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, I was 2 years in Okinawa, wasn't I?
Did you enjoy that time over there, Gene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Well, I started drinking there, like when I left home, and I stayed a drunk for first 30 years we was married.
Yeah. Took you a little while to figure it out, huh?
Nope, did it in one night.
One night, huh?
Come home. My three little girls took off running like a covey of quail, and I asked the wife, "What's going on?" She said that they thought she was drunk again. Went out, took the bottle behind the seat, bottle of Everclear, and put her in a garbage can, and never have drunk ever since, have I? Everybody says, "You got to do this, do that." I just quit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I gave up drinking. I mean, I'll have one every once in a while, but
I just my mind wasn't clear. I was trying to, you know, it always got in the way. And my wife, you know, started getting scared and all that, and the kids, and, you know, I finally realized, like you said, it didn't take me much.
I enjoyed my drinking because I was the smartest, the toughest.
Yeah.
I got a lot of scars to prove that. I enjoyed my drinking.
Yeah.
But not when it's come to scaring my kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I had some great times, you know, but, you know, when you see the kids scared and the wife scared, and there's a chance that you could lose them, that'll straighten you up real quick.
Well, it's just the girls, I don't know, I just quit that day for some reason.
Yeah.
There's one thing. When I was boomed out, most of the time we were chasing overtime. They always got the 40-hour check.
Okay.
The family did.
The 40-hour check. Can you explain that a little bit, Gene? I mean, well, I understand what
always
that
worked overtime.
Okay.
If I whatever.
Oh, overtime, I got you. So they whatever was on top of that, that was yours. So the overtime was yours.
The 40-hour check was theirs.
Okay.
Period.
Gotcha.
And of course, she needed more than that because she was supporting some of the guys that boomed out, left their families. They didn't send no money home.
Yeah.
So we had two or three families we supported, didn't we? All the time.
So once you, got into the actual Union Iron Workers after you got out of the Navy then?
No, I got in the Iron Workers when I was, They swore me in as a apprentice in Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska?
In when I was working on that fence.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Okay.
So the time there and time in a service,
that's
all counts for my.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, that all those hours went towards you've already established some hours. Yeah.
There was no money involved.
Yeah.
As far as retirement
goes. Yeah, you guys didn't have that.
No, we never had such a thing. We didn't even have any decent health insurance back then, or if you got hurt.
What year you said
13? 54. I got in the, when I got in, went to work for Platte Valley.
Platte Valley. Okay.
And then,
and that was that a rod outfit or was
no,
that a structure?
We did building the fence.
So that's all they did was strictly fence.
Well, that's what they job was.
That's what that job was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They did all kinds of construction as far as the iron workers go, but that job was strictly building the fence.
Okay.
Along the interstate.
Did you enjoy doing that work when you got there?
I didn't care what
it was, just whatever you had.
No. Yeah. If you've been cowboying and one time I lived a week on a bag of ginger snaps, and you used to get them in the big sacks.
Okay.
Like that. That's what I ate for a week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, between the cowboying jobs. Of course, come payday, I was broke the next day, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
They always fed you good.
Yeah, exactly. Once you really got into, got back into ironwork, let's say, what year was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, 59.
59?
Yeah. We got out of the service, went to work for Dad, and then that wasn't working out, so I went welding in the oil fields.
Okay. Where did you do that in Montana or up?
Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay.
And the buddy I was in the service with, I ran into him in Casper, Wyoming, old Lyle Bothell. And he said, "We're begging for welders on the Titan missiles in Rapid City."
Okay.
And so I talked to the BAA, and he gave me the runaround about apprenticeship. And I said, "To hell with you. I make more money right now than I am that."
Yeah.
Well, about a month later, I don't know how he got a hold of me, but he got a hold of me and said, "You go to Rapid City and go to the School of Mines, take the welding test. If you pass it, you're in.
Okay.
You can go to work. And
were you a pretty confident welder already, Gene, at that time?
Yeah, I always been.
Yeah.
Well, I got the record here that nobody's going to come close to.
Which one is
10 years, I have never had a cutout.
Really?
And I mean, I did a whole bunch of full pins. And 3,400 and some welds without a cutout.
Wow.
Never had a cutout. Never lost a weld.
And you did it all with stick, right? I mean, it was
This is just before I retired here.
Okay. So when did you enjoy wire? Welding wire?
Yeah. I loved welding wire.
Yeah.
Oh, welding me was just, everybody else runs 10s, 11s. I wear 9s.
Yeah.
Use 9 and I can see what's going on. A lot of times I welded with 8s.
Yeah.
And, of course, looking through Coke bottles, I always had Coke bottles up until they did this fancy surgery.
When did you start heading towards Portland? I mean,
Portland was...
Was that, so I don't want to get too far ahead yet, James. So I'm just trying to work, like, what did you do? So you're welding in the oil fields
I went to work on welding on the Titans.
On the Titans, and then like, how did you start working towards the West Coast?
Never had a dream of coming out here.
No? So did you just continue to stay welding in that type of, like...
No, I welded, and then I always ended up foreman, either that or connecting for the bridge company. Got hooked up with the bridge company.
So when you say the bridge company, you're talking about American Bridge?
Yeah.
How was your experience with them? Obviously they're iconic, you know, the modern day ironworkers, we hear the stories about American Bridge. I mean, what was your experience with American Bridge?
Oh God, loved it.
Loved it?
Yeah. They,
how did you find yourself getting with American Bridge? Can we start there?
Well, they started, American Bridge did the first Minuteman in South Dakota. And that's where I got hooked up with them. First job was with them.
Okay.
We did the...
Can you explain what the Minuteman is, Gene? Sorry, I guess I don't...
Oh, the Minuteman?
Yeah, what can you explain?
These 150 missile sites that are stationed all over the Nebraska and them. Yeah, there's 150 of them in each colony, you might call it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, well, I've been on every one of them at least 6 times. I've been on them, that far away from a multiple warhead.
Yeah.
I mean, right there.
Wow.
I'd lean back against it and rest. Then they got a control center. And then the bridge company, I was with off and on the missiles with the bridge. And H.C. Smith, another one. And then they did NORAD. American Bridge come in there. But I'd get to drinking, and they'd send my ass back to the Southworks in Chicago.
Oh, you worked in Chicago?
Oh, shit, that'll sober you up.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, cold. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, that wind coming off the lake.
Well, you know what Southworks is like then.
Yeah.
Back then is, I don't know how people lived. I get lost easy.
Yeah.
So I park my pickup the first day.
Okay.
I come down the street, into the gate. That night I go out, I go down, and I turn right.
Yeah.
My brand new pickup ain't down there. Where'd it go already?
Yeah.
So I go back, trace my steps, come back out, go back down, and I see this pile of dust there, and I brushed it off, and there's my brand new pickup.
Yeah.
And then people would hang their clothes out the damn window.
Yep.
Next to that.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I don't know how people.
Yeah. It's what projects did you work for the bridge company in Chicago? Do you remember?
Yeah. Right at the Southworks in the mill itself.
Oh, that's
American Bridge did the, their mill.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
They upgrade on their mill. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you there for quite a while?
No, I was only there about 3 or 4 months.
Three or four months.
I sobered up. Yeah.
How did it work? So let's just say, would you be on a project for quite a while with the bridge company, or would they just kind of say, "Hey, Gene, we need you to go"?
Yeah, wherever their job was, they'd call me and
tell you,
hey, Gene, I need you. Some way the job I was on to, I'd always go back with them.
Do you remember some of the, you know, like a lot of ironworkers have nicknames. Do you remember some of the ironworkers that you worked with in the early days of the bridge company? Like some of the, so I heard Door Spring. I was talking to a guy, there was a foreman that worked for the bridge company called, I think his name was Tommy O'Neill, but they called him Door Spring because when he was using the, he was bucking up, that the guts of the hell dog would come out, or it would get stuck in. So they would put a door spring on there. So it would allow it, it wouldn't shoot out. It wouldn't, I think that's the way he said it, but do you know what I'm talking about, Gene?
Oh, about riveting, you mean?
Yeah. So the rivet gang. So that there was a form they called door spring because he would put, he always had a pocket of door springs so he could put on the snap. It was to keep the snap in.
I don't remember that because I was a catcher.
Oh, you were a catcher.
The last one. Last riveting we did was on a railroad bridge between here and Seattle.
Okay.
I don't remember who the outfit at all, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bridge company, we did missiles and we did the bridge in Tahoe. BFI, he's dead now. He was from here.
Okay.
But I connected with him in different parts of the country.
Did you work on the Astoria Bridge too, or were you weren't here?
No.
My
brother did. He walked out there and looked down and walked back and went back to aircraft mechanic.
Oh, really? Yeah. I know. I was. I found some old photos. I mean, they were in the Oregonian of when they were erecting that, and they showed all the false work when they started putting up the false work for the first span.
We did a bridge in Tahoe, New Mexico. And, you know, you start from one side of the canyon to the other side, and you just get till the iron meets.
Yeah.
Well, they had the safety net down there about 6-8 feet below the bridge. Well, them old boys, hot, oh, geez, it was hot in that canyon. Oh, and they'd fall off on the net. Well, you crawl. Well, if you fell on the net, you had to take the rest of the day off, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So they had four or five of us and said, you're working this weekend. We dropped the net down there about just about 60, 70 feet. Nobody fell off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine falling 70 feet onto a rope?
Adios.
You know, you make it, but boy, you're going to be scunned up and rope burned.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. Nobody fell after that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So did a lot of people go in the hole in those early days, Gene? I mean, obviously, you have to be aware when you're on the iron. You know, you're walking around, you're no aware of everything. But obviously, there's still that, you know, just... Like with me, I mean, we tie off. So, you know, I know that there's something there that's, I'm not actually going to go all the way to the ground. Right. I mean, what was it like in those days, not being tied? I mean, just that free feeling, you can just move around.
You're just one step away from death.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
the way, easy way to explain it. Just one step.
Yeah.
And then you get like Montana. We did a job up there at Colstrip. That's where I got hurt. But, for example, it was for 30 days, I never got above 20 below. And I was working with, this outfit, the one that was doing the iron out at the airport when it fell. No, when the iron run a job up in, at a college. And, the three kids that fell, that rode that iron down.
Yeah.
Because they were tied off, was working for me 2 weeks before that. Reefer called me, and I went out, and they knew I had no brains or guts or whatever. So I got the job, the corner iron where the kids rode the iron down.
Yeah.
My job was to straighten that mess out.
Oh, yeah.
So there was still blood on the iron when I went to work.
I bet.
Redoing it.
Yeah, I seen pictures of it in a pile of just a mangled mess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was still blood on the iron that they didn't get washed off.
Yeah. Do you know what, I mean, I've heard several different things about why it went.
Very simple. You can't sit up a row of columns without tying them off.
Yeah.
And they wanted to hang iron on that. Yeah. Like a damn fence. In a big hurry. Big old boy that ran that outfit. You'd have a big party for everybody.
Yeah.
The job was done.
Topping out party.
And anybody that didn't like him, he offered to whip anybody that wants to try.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a tough old son of a bitch. Whew. I hit him so damn hard, and I could knock anybody out. I couldn't even jar him.
Really?
Boy, he's a tough old bird. Yeah. He was just, well, he finally, he did another job. Corvallis. And same thing.
Yeah.
They kicked him out. They finally just lost his contractor's license because he couldn't get insurance.
Yeah.
He had so many accidents and stuff.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like I said, I heard several stories about why that went over, you know, and just like what you said,
it was just wasn't tied off to nothing.
Yeah. And I heard that they didn't even use shim packs. They just set the columns on leveling nuts and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't.
I mean, that's just asking for trouble.
Well, that's the way they did it back. Yeah. That's the way that outfit did their iron.
Yeah.
Well, we did a job in Denver, and building went down. A lot of our X-bracing didn't fit, so they just told us just to nine wire it.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's another thing too.
We left, and next morning it wasn't there.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, I heard that, you know, with that airport job, they were putting in one bolt. They weren't plumbing up. They didn't have any guide cables on or nothing. No. I mean, that's just,
they just
kept going up.
That's the way that outfit.
Yeah. That's just, that's scary. Cause I mean, that's just, you're asking, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're asking to die. I mean, you're doing stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just counts your tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
But money was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Always got $3, $4, $5 an hour over scale to connect.
Yeah. So when you worked for the bridge company, Gene, you got your tool belt, right? Did they, you know, they always tooled you up before you went on?
You had to wear their belts.
You had to wear their belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I always heard that, you know, they gave you that 6-foot rope lanyard. Did you have to use that, or what was that like having that?
It was just come with
just
the belt.
Show, or was that just for show, or did you guys did?
No.
Did your guys' superintendents or foreman back then make you guys use it?
Well, kinda.
Yeah.
But if you was going to set in one place,
okay.
But connectors. No, we never did have to tie off for the bridge company.
Yeah.
We didn't believe in tying off.
Yeah.
I'd been dead if I'd been tied off.
Yeah.
You get a beam coming at you and start windmilling.
Yeah.
And you're standing on the spud wrench up there.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing around you except, and here's that iron coming at you. All of a sudden, that wind catches you, just tries to start windmilling.
Yep.
You got to drop fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the bridge company had a policy. They give you two bolt bags, 2/3 full of bolts, your sleever bar, all your tools, sledgehammer.
So they actually
picked a 90-foot column if they could find one.
Yeah.
If you wanted to connect, you claimed that column.
Really?
If you didn't make it, you didn't connect.
Wow.
Of course, I just like a squirrel.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But my only problem was, they get them columns. Sometimes they pick one a little bit big and might get a little short, stubby legs. Hell, I'd have to crawl it like a monkey. Basically, because my feet wouldn't fit over on the other side and the other flange.
Did you guys do a lot of, I mean, there's different ways to climb columns, like kneeing up and all that. Was it just dependent on who the guy was? I mean,
just how he wanted to climb it.
How he wanted to climb.
Yeah, I could just go like squirrel eight. Well, my arms were Well, up until I was 70 years old, I could pick up 300 pounds and sit in the back of a pickup.
Really? Wow.
I'd pick up a short block and sit in the back of a pickup when I was 70 years old.
Damn, Gene, why are you still out there working iron?
I could.
Yeah.
But, no.
I mean, do you miss
it? Well, I didn't retire.
Yeah.
I didn't retire. My pickup did.
Yeah. Your pickup did. That's
it. I lived in that old trailer, horrible trailer park over there on Killingsworth.
Yeah.
And there's, you come in here and you go and you come out over here. Well, we lived right there. I'd come out and that damn pickup wouldn't turn right to go to work. It just kept turning left, so I'd end up back at the house. Well, about the third trip, I called Seattle and I said, I've had enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, we need more notice. I said, you got 15 days.
Yeah.
Well, I made a little mistake on that one. After about a week or two, the wife started to ask me, you get laid off? No. Well, what's going on? Well, about the third day, I said, well, I ought to tell her. So I said, well, I retired. Oh, shit. See that frown?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my back's been a few bones in it broke and whatnot over the years. And the doctor, back doctor said, you better retire. One of these days, you're going to.
That's it. Did you work for the bridge company? Is that how you got to Portland? It was with the bridge company, or did you just.
No. I was working in Sacramento. Finished up a job there. Then we went to Frisco. Was working there.
What projects you work in Frisco?
Well, over the hill. I forget what the town was.
And you were just hanging iron. So you pretty much hung iron there for a while then, huh, Gene?
Oh, yeah. I've hung iron, did rebar.
So obviously you just did whatever was available. Oh, yeah. What's your opinion on people like so nowadays, Gene? You know, a lot of these kids don't want to do rebar. I mean,
I don't.
I learned how to work in the rod patch. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. These kids ought to work was scarce, getting a little short in Colorado Springs. These outfits, 2 or 3 days, they'd want to. You don't have a job 2 or 3 days.
Yeah,
maybe a day. Well, nobody would take them. And carpenters were starting to do a lot of our rebar. We did the rods on the Minuteman, for example.
Yeah.
We were swinging some of them big babies in with the crane.
Oh, I bet.
And the bridge company did that, too.
Oh, really?
Bridge did that. One of the first rod jobs they ever did was in Montana. They did the rebar on the Titan missiles.
Wow. So, you know, the bridge company, I mean, they did everything. That's the first time I heard that they did the rods.
Yeah, that's the first time we did the rods.
Wow. Did you like it or did you like hell with this?
It's just another job.
Just another job, yeah.
Wow. Rebar to me was, if it was made iron, I did it. I didn't care what it was, you know.
Yeah.
Rebar, making awful, they did family some awful lean days doing rebar.
Yeah.
Well, for example, the Holly Sugar Building in Colorado Springs started out, did the rods the first three floors.
Okay.
With rods, and then... I think that I've come in and structural outfit come in, and then I connected on that one. Then we did the Holly Sugar Building, so on up.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, 10, 12 stories, 15, I don't remember.
So when you were connecting, did you have a partner that you always kind of stuck around with, or did you like kind of just whoever was at the hall or when it got to the
whoever they partnered me up with?
So you
didn't travel with anybody. Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
Did you ever get a chance to work for Bethlehem Steel?
Oh yeah.
Did you? How? I mean, what was the difference between the two? It was just kind of because they're
Bethlehem,
both iconic.
The only difference with Bethlehem, they didn't care what tools you didn't have. They'd fire your ass if you didn't have a crescent.
Really?
That was just kind of a...
That was their thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, a guy that went to international, he was a school athletic coach.
Okay.
And I got him in the iron workers. We were working for Bethlehem. Yeah, Harry Huffy. Well, he made it in the international.
Yeah.
And Christmas time...
And he was one of your apprentices?
Had the man's, you know, so many of them be there.
Yeah.
During Christmas holiday. Well, Harry Huffy got drunk and missed a couple of days. And
yeah.
And that's when they eased him on out for working for Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And we just take a plank. The X-rays come down. We just wedge that plank in there.
Yeah.
While we was bolting up. I'd run in the impact. And that plank kicked. Oh. Down I went.
Oh, shit.
We was up there. I don't know, probably 100 feet or more.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't let go of the air hose, so it swung me back in, a couple floors down, and the Harry's hollering. He's outside, Gene, are you all right? Fuck you, Harry. Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
What a brute.
Yeah.
God, he stood about, 6'7".
When you got to Portland, what year was it?
Well, we did the skids. Let's say I went with the bridge company. We did the 747 building and at Everett for Boeing.
Okay.
And went back to Wyoming.
What would be, like, Gene, what would be a reason, I mean, like, what was the biggest reason you would drag up?
I dug up from the bridge company because the son of a bitch told me a good morning.
Oh, really? Yeah, it was one of those, huh?
It ain't none of my goddamn business what kind of morning I was having.
Exactly.
I just come here to work. If that's where you feel about a piss on you, we're going to the hall.
Yeah.
Well, we went and got drunk. But... yeah. And the next day I was back working for the prick.
Yeah.
This guy from California went to work for me in on the missiles. And when he went to Cali back from one time, he brought me a turtle.
Okay.
One of the, made him from the rivets taken out of the Golden Gate Bridge when he upgraded.
Wow.
But we mixed him a traveling drink.
Okay.
We was working on the missiles and we'd...
A traveling drink?
We had, a little traveling drink.
A little road soda.
So he could fly back to...
It was a flower base.
Well, yeah. A traveling drink, big old flower base. But anyhow, he gets a call. I need money. What the hell do you need money for? You're at home. No, I'm not. Well, where are you at? I'm in Hawaii. I said, what the hell are you doing in Hawaii? Well, that goddamn drink he fixed me. I didn't get off the plane. I'm in Hawaii. Oh. I partnered up a lot with rubber-eared...
Dick Blevins.
No, that was one of the first iron workers I worked with was called Rubber Ear Dick Blevins.
Okay.
And he had a rubber ear. And he was my first foreman. And I took my welding test, Rapid City. I went out there and waiting for the results of the test, he had me a bucket of bolts. And the Titans are a little over 100 and some feet deep. And they got a false work on top, a lot of 4-inch beams.
Yeah.
Just false work on top for whatever they was doing, actually sitting on top. And take that bucket of bolts, that old boy over there. Well, I started around. He said, uh-uh. Set that bucket of bolts down. I looked at that. I pulled my wallet out. Opened it up. Didn't have nothing in it.
Yeah.
Closed my wallet up. Put my wallet away.
Grab that bucket of bolts, and there you go.
Then old rubber ear dick and I were like that. He finally shot himself. He liver got so bad. But
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'd get in the bar, and he'd take that ear off and spill a little ketchup on it, you know. And the old gal would come by with her tray of drinks, and he'd slap it underneath the tray. Then he'd holler, "Bitch, you know what I'm going to do?" And she'd raise that ear up. Of course, he'd that ear and the blood on it, and just, well, hell, you ain't going to use that no more, and throw it in the spittoon.
Holy shit.
Yeah, oh, Robert had to go fish her out of the spittoon. Well, we did a job when I got hurt. That's when I called a wife and said I died in a helicopter.
Did you go in the hole, Gene?
No, explosion.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah. Goddamn. That's when drugs started all the jobs.
Okay.
We was up on top of the powerhouse. And it started getting cold. Well,
yeah.
I took a 55-gallon drum. The kids did.
Yeah.
And turned it upside down. And I was eating lunch with the operator all the time. And because he had a little... I knowed him for years. And set it on the concrete. Well, it was a finished floor.
Okay.
Well, they just... went in and stuck the torch in. Well, you know what happens when the torch runs out.
Yeah.
It's... Well, as I walked in, I said, I smell acetylene.
Yeah.
Well, just one guy pulled a torch out, and he goes, oh, the torch is on it. Well, this time, a guy named John walked in. He had a damn striker on that. He hit that, and that flame went red. Last thing I remember seeing that flame, he headed for that barrel.
Damn.
Well, they never did find the barrel. And it broke windows 5 miles away.
Damn. Yeah, that's a settling bomb.
And, of course, they threw me in a helicopter, three of us in a helicopter, head from Billings. And I remember this. They said it's impossible. But as truth is, the medics working on me, and they said, well, this man has died. Let's try to save his buddy down below. And meantime, they got a hold of her.
Yeah.
And told she was in Sheridan, 130 miles away, and said I died in a helicopter. Well, when she got to Billings, I'm walking around my buddy, blood running everywhere. And they said if I lived till morning, I might make it.
Yeah.
But if I was right here in the hospital, they couldn't save me.
Yeah.
Well, about 2.5-3 years later, I woke up in my chair. And what the hell am I doing here? I need to get to work. And then she told me what was going on. And then the BA at the time, better talk to the BA. Well, he died. And they wrote a check for $5 million or whatever it was to Joyce. And Harry Huffy. Harry Huffy made a deal with Bechtel. That if, you know, they took the check away and everything, that
they're not liable anymore.
Would not go non-union.
Oh, really?
So.
Wow.
So that's, she had the check, but it wasn't any good.
Yeah.
And I spent 3 years.
Wow.
And I got that in.
When I was with Harry Hoffman, he didn't have anything good either.
Huh?
I got to the airport when he landed.
Yeah.
I met him before the iron workers.
Really?
Yeah, I was on his butt, man. But Gene went, when that explosion happened, it threw him out off the building, something like 200 and some feet. Not down, but out.
Yeah.
And when the repercussion sucked him back on the building. And
holy shit.
All the damage was...
Yeah.
Because it decomposed... It,
Well, my decompressed. Ears were
decompressed.
Yeah.
All of the nerves and muscle tissue just
like yeah.
a hamburger and go like that, and that's what happened.
Holy shit.
Well, they told me to buy a wheelchair, so I bought an 18-wheeler and went to end up going to Poudre Bay, Alaska, out on the ocean and whatnot with it. Coming through Cheyenne, Wyoming, I met my old buddy. God, who is it?
Jack Wise?
No. The one I always run with, the drunk that I run with.
Siegman?
Mumbled, Siggy. Bob Sigmund.
Bob Sigmund.
we're doing the, they're doing the missiles again.
Okay.
And I said, well, shit. Of course, we went on a run and drunk.
Yeah.
The whole story. You left me in the damn truck in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I go in the office. I said, what's Gene doing? Is he still having... She said, what? Melva said, no, he's in the company truck. And I said, doing what? She said, oh, he went out there, went to work somewhere. He left me in the flipping truck.
Oh, shit.
Well, I got drunk, sold my truck, went back to work in iron. We're sitting in the bar, the biker's bar, Siggy and I, and here comes the president of the company in. I've got pretty good friends with him over the years. Siggy, what are you doing here? He said, Twist, what are you doing there? I said, well, what do you think I'm doing here? I'm getting drunk. He said, well, you're supposed to be at work. I said, work? I don't work for you. Oh, yeah, I did. You signed up a couple days ago. Oh. Maybe I'll go to work then. So I went back to work in iron.
Nice.
Al Construction.
Al Construction, yeah. Yeah, they said I'd never walk, let alone.
Yeah.
Back to work in iron.
Were you...
If you get in that truck, I'd have to use a little come along to get up in the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And it just bouncing around, chaining up and whatnot.
Yeah. Did it take you a little while to get comfortable again, being up on the iron, Gene? No, it's just kind of like riding
I'm at
a bike.
Home up there.
Yeah.
I love to get way up there, and the boss is hollering at you, see. Well, you know exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
What do you need? What do you need? Let that prick climb up here. He'd come out, we'd have it done.
Yeah.
About the third time he did that, he realized, them boys know what they're doing. Oh, you talk about Guillory?
Yeah.
The old man, the screamer, they called him.
So that's Gil, right?
Yeah, the old Gil. Man Gil. Yeah. They called him the screamer.
The screamer.
Well, Marvin and I was working for him. And he hollered at my brother. And I said, you prick, if you ever holler at my brother again, I'll tear your head off and shit in the hole. Well, he knew I had him because I was the only one who was certified on aluminum.
Oh, really?
And stainless.
Yeah.
On one of the local at the time.
Yeah.
We worked on a chip factory. Oh, well, now, we got to be real good friends after that.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
We got to be good friends. We liked to wear hairnets in the chip factory, see?
Yep.
Well, we wouldn't take them off. We went over to this little sandwich shop.
Yeah.
So Marvin and I got him in between the two of us and putting the make on him, see, with our hair nets on. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, you know, well, if you knew Gil.
Yeah, see, I never got to meet him.
Oh, God. Talk about. Man, he was about, we wouldn't let him out, see.
Yeah.
You worked with the Meagher brothers.
Oh, I worked with.
Like Jamie.
I worked with Jamie, worked with Jane.
Jane. What about the Aldrits?
Who?
Aldrits, Dave Aldrit. I think it's Bill. Is it Bill? Is his brother? I don't remember what.
No, as soon as I see a lot of faces, I recognize faces. I don't remember names.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy that's the apprenticeship,
Kevin or Neil or Kevin Crocker. Yeah, Neil.
See?
His
I worked with his dad,
Neil.
Neil and I.
How
was
he?
Oh.
Yeah. What was he like? So I've
what
heard all
hell of a hand.
That's what I heard too.
Fighting son of a bitch.
Yeah, I heard he would slide down a column and lay you off. He wasn't even he was just a hand. But if he didn't want you on his job, he would like get out of here. I mean, here's your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and I got into it one time. I don't know, he said something and I said, well, just after the fight, prick, let's get her done.
Yeah.
Boy, that son of a bitch could hit.
That's what I heard.
He couldn't get me down.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get him down, but
that's what I heard.
And after that, just like that.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, he's the only man that could actually make my bell ring.
Really?
Because I get hit in the head, never bothered me.
Yeah.
See, I've had it split.
Yeah, I can see that.
Here, yeah. Boy, that's how much good hit.
Yeah, I heard he would, like at the union meetings and all that stuff, Gene. He would, you know, he always wore rings or something. He always wore rings.
Yeah, he was sergeant at arms.
Yeah, he was a sergeant at arms. Yeah, yep.
Yeah,
and I heard he would, you know, if he told you if somebody lipped off to him, well, he'd knock your ass out.
Yeah, he tried it with me. Couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, I mean,
after about an hour, we give up.
I bet.
Oh, shit. Blood everywhere.
Damn.
Boy, that's so much good hit.
Would you guys go to the bar after that or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Crocker, I'm tired. I said, why don't we just take a break and go get drunk and maybe finish this fight tomorrow? I'd kind of like to take the rest of the day off, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
He said, God, I was hoping for a break. Remember that? Never. Yep, God hoped for a break.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
That old boom you're looking at?
Yeah.
That son of a bitch went like this. I don't know
really?
What kept it from coming down.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. We was working on the powerhouse in Coldstrip. And with one of them 4100s. And they had a welded on a piece of pipe come down.
Yeah.
Pipe come in here. Well, somebody didn't finish the weld on. They were trying to figure out how to get there without having to bring a rig in the basket and all that. I said, well, hell, they just had the safety harness.
Yeah.
So I just hooked me up and dropped me down with the rope. And I'm down there getting ready to weld, and I look up, and here come that goddamn boom like this.
Oh, really?
And everybody's hollering. I'm going, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, I'm trying to hang on this goddamn pipe.
And yeah.
Asshole up there holding on my rope. He's hauling the mail.
Yeah.
Well, another guy grabbed the rope and come back. And when they pulled me up, that beam went by and clipped my welding hood.
Just holy shit.
The front of it.
Damn.
Going windmilling. And I go, one of these days.
Damn.
I'm not going to be dumb enough to do stuff like that. Well,
did you see a lot of people get killed, Gene?
Huh?
Did you see a lot of people get killed on the job? No.
No, I seen more die after safety took over.
Okay.
Yeah, we lost a guy at Corvallis. We lost...
What about that guy in the rig?
Huh?
What about that guy in the rig?
In the rig?
In South Dakota, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, the 26 of them. No, Steubenville, Ohio.
But the one in South Dakota that swung the boom into the power.
Oh, yeah.
Swung
it in the power lines, and we were trying to help him, and pants looked fine, except there weren't no legs in them.
Damn.
And by the time the ambulance got there, luckily he died before the ambulance got there. Wow. Trying to find us out there in the middle of the prairie in South Dakota.
Yeah.
It was the only accident that happened on one job. Wrecked their record for riding a headache ball down and ended up in the hospital that he was working on.
Wow.
That was that damn nurse's fault. Working on this, and the nurse, good looking old gal.
Yeah.
He had a little apartment or something, and she'd always change her clothes up there. Well, we doing precast, but I was pulling it in until they connected.
Okay.
Well, sometime during this operation, I must have let go of that cable or something because I reached for it and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I went down three floors into a pile of pipe.
No shit.
Damn. And that per superintendent told the wife the reason I did it.
Oh, really?
He
ratted you out. Yeah, he ratted you out.
That's what you get for working for a preacher. He's a preacher.
Gotcha.
We pulled in, Buddy and I pulled into Steubenville, Ohio, to work on this, one of them big mills where they got the towers with the make brick and all the cinders, big cinders you got to knock off.
Okay.
And just as we pulled in, they picked my car up and set it off the road.
Okay.
And welding whistles and everything went off. And they was hollering about the permit for the Boilermakers. And they was hollering about people needed help, went and helped. So Buddy and I ran in, and what had happened is the night before, somebody left a acetylene bottle, didn't get it closed all the way. And a kid walked in there and lit a cigarette or something. I don't know how they kept from smelling it.
Yeah.
But it killed 23 of them.
Wow. Damn.
And they're figuring out how they're going to get the acetylene bottle shut off and whatnot. So I just grabbed a crescent winch and went in. And it was a great big bottle, you know, and you turned off, shut it off. If I'd have been thinking, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But I was awful careful not to make a spark.
I bet.
That's another job.
Yeah.
We'd go up there knocking the cinders off, and here'd be parts of a body.
Wow. Damn.
Tell him about your experience at NORAD. That's a good story.
What's that?
When the cart got away from you and you went down through the canyon. Oh, geez.
We're doing a tunnel. Well, NORAD, you come in the big blast main doors.
Okay.
We welded on them, and they had to keep the temperature at 400 and some degrees.
Okay.
So welded day after day on them blast doors. But then you go around a little kind of a jeep trail, and there's another small opening. Oh, you could get maybe a small-size pickup in it.
Okay.
But it come back down the hill. Well, had this golf cart, and coming down there, brakes went out on it.
Oh, shit.
Boy, I made the corner into the main where the couple tunnel, the main tunnel,
yeah,
the big tunnel of the office, and the small one there, and then this one all met. And Air Force, of course. Well, when the wreck tipped the golf cart over, here's a goddamn kid with a .45 stuck in my ear, air police. Well, they laid the door, the engineer laid the door out.
Okay.
Of course, like I told you, the walls are all half inch steel.
Yeah.
Cut the door out here. So I'm a cutting away. All of a sudden, here's a goddamn .45 stuck in my ear again. Oh, I go, shit, this is getting to be old.
Yeah.
And I told that kid, you poke that a little bit harder against my head and I'm going to stuff it up your ass. Well, he made the mistake of saying something smart and I grabbed that. And when the colonel got there, he had eaten the .45. I had it stuck in his mouth.
No shit.
Smart little bastard.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, I was cutting right in the computer room.
No shit.
Boy, I had sent some old girls on fire and everything else that was in there. Man, I had her just ablaze.
Yeah, I bet. I could just see it. Yeah,
all them great, you know, the big old computers we had.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
there.
Like the big old IBM.
Oh, yeah, I was firing right into them. I was espionage. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I bet. Oh, shit.
Finally, the engineers, they showed, no, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Well, Shep showed up. And he said, this is where I was there. This is the mark they give us to cut this door. Well, didn't you go on the other side and check? No, we wasn't allowed in there.
Yeah.
They said, just cut the door. It's all taken care of. Well, it was taken care of, all right. Woman apprenticed. Then I worked for Big Tits. Or had her working for me. And I fired her. She come out with a see-through blouse on.
Oh, yeah.
Damn good rod buster I had. One of the best.
Really?
It was hard to get rod busters.
Yeah.
And I'll be goddamned if he didn't wash her and stumble and break his leg.
I bet.
Looking at her, oh yeah.
What do you think about women in ironwork, Gene?
There's some good ones.
Yeah, there is. There is. Oh yeah.
When did I retire?
I don't know. Tell me.
2005?
Yeah.
Oh, I retired in 2005. I was right in 98 or 99 I retired, didn't I? Yeah. 98, 99,
okay.
I retired.
So you retired right after the airport collapse, and it wasn't too long after that, huh?
But not too long after.
Did you work with, like, Richard Parks at all?
Do you remember?
Yeah. How was, because I got to meet him at the retirement.
I don't remember too much about him.
No. What about, Dan Keeley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Danny Keeley.
See, I want to talk, you know, I'm trying to talk to everybody because there's just so much there. You know, I worked with his son. I worked for Trevor a lot, you know.
See, the bad part about it is when I go to talk to Keeley, I'm talking to his son.
Yeah.
See, that's my bad part, to talk to one we just mentioned, Amir.
Crocker.
Crocker.
Yeah.
Crocker, and that's when I looked at him and said, Crocker, you...
Shit. Pat Manichek, did you ever get to work her out?
Pat, the name's awful.
He was a big connector. I mean, he was one of the best I heard in our local. Worked for Reef a lot. And what about like Bob Clairhue? Did you get to work with Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how was that back in your day? Like, You know, did you guys play a lot of pranks and shit on like the apprentices, Gene? Did you guys like send them for the sky hook and all that? Did you guys do anything like that?
We pulled them, but see, I was different. Everybody, most of them didn't like me. Because when I caught them mistreating an apprentice,
yeah,
I nailed her ass heavy.
Yeah.
Well, now that's where we should. No, I said, yeah, it's how you may treat a business. You don't treat them on my job.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get to work with Tim? I mean, were you around? Yeah. 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 I got to work with him when first time I worked with him was when I was, I think, a second year apprentice. And, you know, I got to, you know, he told me a story about washing wells. I don't know if you ever heard that, but.
Yeah. But you have to watch them. I can't see them no more.
Exactly. Oh, shit. Did you do a lot of hooking on, Gene? I mean, did you like to hook on too as well? No, or you just always wanted to be connected. Up in there. You always wanted to be up in the air.
Yeah.
Yep.
I never could last. Towards the end, I couldn't last maybe a month.
Yeah.
And then they'd always change hats on me.
Yeah.
Reefer would do it every goddamn time. Really? Have the best welding jobs. Just sit there and just
pull the trigger.
And next time I turn around and, we need a foreman. I said, we'll call somebody who gives a shit.
That's usually how it is, though.
But it didn't work out that way, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they always talk you into it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I got to, I worked for Reefa quite a bit. And the last job I had was, I was GFing for J.H. Kelly. So I got to work for them for quite a while. I mean, they're probably about one of the...
Maybe superintendent or GF.
So the ironworker superintendent was Mark Deller. And then I kind of worked for Kevin Soto. Did you ever work with him?
Kevin Soto?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His son. Yeah.
Well, his brother was Don Soto, the one that was killed on the airport job.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the Soto that fell on the building downtown? One of their sons.
I don't know, Gene. I haven't heard that one. I just know that Kevin's brother died, or Don Soto.
What's the one that was at the meeting?
Was that Ernie? No.
Wasn't the Soto there?
I don't remember seeing.
What the hell? Maybe I got the name wrong.
Yeah, I don't.
But the guy at the meeting, his son fell three floors here a few years back.
Yeah.
See, all the iron workers I know is all dead. I got one of the kids left.
The last big accident we've had was that tower crane that went over in Seattle. I mean, that was the last big thing. Well, no. So we had a couple guys go in the hole on a car job. It's probably been a year or so.
On car?
Car, yeah. They were doing a cantilever kind of type thing. And they didn't weld any of the moment connections or nothing, and they set all the deck on it, and then the connectors went up there to set the last bolt and all the deck on it, and it shit out. It sheared the bolts, and they both went in the hole. One of them went all the way down, and he landed on his head. He didn't die, but he's not really there anymore, they said. But and Justin, he can't work iron no more. His back is just,
Before I was in that explosion, I had photostatic memory. 3,400 measurements on the missiles.
Really?
I looked at the prints once in 16 years.
Really? You just knew it?
Did add a few. I'd go to do a job, I'd look at the drawings one time and never pick them up again.
Yeah.
And then after that, I realized that, shit, can't remember what I went in the office for.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me that I'd have, sometimes I didn't have to carry the drawings out with me.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to go back to welding.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I got a piece of paper in here.
Okay. What was it like being an iron worker wife, Gene? Or Joyce, sorry. My wife is super supportive. I mean, she understands. I mean, did you, like, you understood what an iron worker was, right? I mean... Just kind of knew what we were going to do as far as, like, drinking. You know,
Gene was always boomed out.
Yeah.
He was, you know, Well, you've seen his records. Yeah. He was always gone.
Yeah.
When he'd come home, if he was gone a month or 2 weeks, our children weren't raised like anybody else's kids because our children absorbed their dad.
Yeah.
He would come in to take a bath, and he'd have all three girls in the bathroom.
Yep.
One sitting on the tub, one sitting on the toilet, the children hanging, the other. But see, they didn't know that he was. They have no recollection to this day that their dad was in that bathtub.
Really?
Yeah. I talked to a couple of them here not a couple of years ago because we were talking about different things. And I asked them how they felt. They said, huh?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because that was their time with their dad.
With their dad.
He would take them fishing. He would go to school and kidnap. Oh,
yeah.
He put me through a lot of hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we just knew that that was his job.
Yeah.
And except for his drinking, our daughters, to this day, we still have a couple of them that, well, Dad, I haven't got my allowance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they run their dad. Their dad is, I will be so mad at him. You can't talk like that about my father.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or I'll say, you can't do this. I'll tell my dad. But he was a good provider.
Right? Yeah. So you just understood when he had to go. That was just part of the deal.
I never had a choice.
Yeah. Okay.
Never had a choice.
See, that's kind of how I would do. Like my wife, you know, and I just knew I had to go, and she really didn't have that choice, and I was going to go no matter what she said. But you know, I could tell it hurt her, but just what I had to do.
Yeah. I knew when I was drinking too heavy, she'd pack my goddamn suitcase and call the bridge company.
Oh, yeah? Needs to go to work.
don't tell me you didn't do it.
He was working in North Dakota. And I flew up to North Dakota, I think for an anniversary. But he picked me up at the airport, took me to the hotel where he was living, and went. And I didn't see him for 5 days. I'm thinking, I call it.
Well, we were behind.
Yeah.
Smith, and I said, hey, how much pull does Gene got with the company? And they said, well, one hell of a lot. Why? And I said, send him a message, ask him to fire himself, because if he's not here by the time I get on that plane.
Yeah.
He won't be seeing me again. I had just called the taxi cab, pulled into the hotel, and he pulled right in behind
him. Oh, really? He knew better. Yeah.
But yeah, they were working 24/7.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may only work.
We had
2 hours on the thing, but they had to be there.
Yeah, they had to be there around the clock.
I had the number one crew.
Yeah. You had the A game.
For years on, we did our part done during the day, and then we'd go over some hole that was behind and had a schedule to meet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and ironworking, when he first started out, the ironwork, it was a brotherhood.
Look at that.
They took care of each other.
Yeah.
They took care of each other's wife. It's not that way anymore.
You
would never steal from another ironworker.
Yeah.
It didn't make any difference if you had starved to death. Not that way now.
Yeah, no.
We were doing the rebar for the bridge company in Montana. And this superintendent, buddy spoiled brat, got him on the crew out there. Well, a little bastard would go around in your pickup, and anything he had on, he'd steal.
Yeah.
Well, I caught him stealing cigarettes. Knocked a fire out of his ass.
Yeah.
Well, he fired me.
Oh, no shit.
So by the time I got the office, 1,200 iron workers was at the office to get their money.
Oh, no shit. Oh, 1,200
of them.
Hell yeah. Damn.
And I'm going, Jesus. And Bridge Company had them big grinders.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, when we did the Minuteman, we had to grind the control centers. They wanted everything smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we then you couldn't even see the guy next to you. We didn't wear masks or anything.
Yeah.
And then every
that was an apprentice job back then, too, right?
Huh?
That was an apprentice job back then, right?
All of us.
Oh, you all did? Oh, yeah.
Foreman the whole works. I was foreman.
Yeah.
You know,
it didn't matter.
Yeah. I never asked a guy to do something I didn't do myself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's why I never did make popular with the company, but not too popular with these lazy butts that thought as soon as they made foreman, they didn't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
I just couldn't sit there with all day long.
I know. You'd rather do it yourself.
I was shorthanded back then.
Did you guys call them lums back then, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lums.
Oh, yeah. Had this one. He was at meeting before this, and I was getting hurt. I won't mention his name.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Always getting hurt.
Yeah.
So, workman's comp.
Oh, right. One of those guys. He went
workman's comp on me on the steel mill.
Oh, really?
I said, all right. You coming out on light duty? Oh, do I have to? Yeah. And I said, there, see that chair? You go there. Unless you were at the bathroom, you're in that chair. If I catch you anywhere else, I'm going to fire you for leaving your work area.
Yep.
And I made him sit there for 3 months.
Drove him nuts.
For 3 months.
Damn.
And
that's what you got to do.
I don't remember what happened. And I didn't really see him after that.
Yeah.
And then at that luncheon, he come over and gave me a big hug. And I thought, well, I'm really old. I'm having to get my ass kicked on this one. Give me. He said, you know, you taught me the biggest lesson. I never worked and conked out since.
Yeah.
And he went to work for a couple of the companies, made him good hand. He said, you really taught me something.
Yeah, that's a good lesson to learn because people do that shit all the time.
Yeah, I just made him sit for 3 months.
Hell yeah. Did you ever get to go back to like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania and work? Did you ever get to go to the factory in Bethlehem?
Nope. Southwards for the American Bridge was the only in Bethlehem. The only time I ever hooked up with them was on that one job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get work from start. Good old boys to work for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were a good outfit?
Oh, yeah. They're different than the bridge company. Bridge company is still used to be on the wild side until they, see, a few years back, before I retired, the bridge company took all the old superintendents out, getting rid of them, and put these college kids in as superintendents.
Yeah.
Well, they'd come out there, and that's kind of one of the reasons bridge company went out of the construction business. You know, used to be bridge everywhere you went.
Yeah.
Is because they couldn't make any money. But the asshole that took over the bridge company was bound to determine that's the way he's going to run it.
Yeah.
Every beam had to have two chokers on it.
Oh, really?
You ever tried to hang iron with two chokers?
No, you can't toggle it. You need to move it around.
You can't do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to swing that headache ball. You got to pivot that headache ball up there.
Wow.
You know how hard that would be.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, you get 5 ton on a headache ball, it's not going to
be easy. It ain't moving. Yeah.
Well, if you spin it at all.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And
Was the bridge company, were they good, like, if you needed something, like, to get tools? I mean, if you needed tools?
Oh, bridge company had plenty of tools.
Oh, they always did?
But they picked the biggest, meanest, their impacts.
Yeah.
Take a 3/4 ton pickup to haul one.
Really?
Oh, God, that was mean.
Did you get to
grinders?
Yeah.
They're in their old grinders was big, horrible.
Yeah.
Everything was made to survive.
Yeah. Did you get to work in a lot of rivet gangs, Gene?
Rivet?
Yeah. Did you do a lot of riveting? No.
Did one rivet job on that.
That was it?
As far as I know out in this country.
Wow.
It was on that railroad bridge.
Okay.
And that's when that Amtrak come by and they dumped the toilet on us.
Oh, really?
But they made a mistake of stopping about 10 miles down the track.
Oh, shit.
When we got there, we was all there.
Yeah.
And we put every one of them in the hospital.
I bet, yeah. Holy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we was burned. Boy, that shit burned.
I bet. Yeah. Holy shit.
Put that whole damn frame through, including the engineer. Had to bring
all right, brothers and sisters, that's a wrap on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. please leave me a review on Apple or Spotify, or reach out to me on my Instagram and Facebook at Chasing the Hook Podcast. And if you know someone who needs to be on this show, please reach out also on my Instagram and Facebook. We all love hearing those stories, and I think it's super important that we keep them going. So with that being said, have a great one and be safe.